What it do, baby? Yes, sir. It's the Zoo Yorker, the concrete jungle's home for sports, and you know what that means. I'm your host, Big Zoo, a.k.a. Ed R. Zooman, coming to you here on April 19th, 2024. That's a Friday for those of you keeping tabs of things like that. And you know what that means. It's about that time for the weekend. So let's get it off right. If this is your first time listening here to the Zoo Yorker, hit that subscribe, hit that follow button. And if you like what you hear, leave a 5-star review. And of course, if you wish to follow me, do so on the X platform, the Twitter platform, the Elon Musk platform. You can do so at ZooBeard77. That's ZOOBEARD77. Now, I want to talk about something today that has been pressing on my mind a little bit as this week has continued to go on further and further, and that is the NFL draft. I mean, I feel like this is maybe not the first time in a long time, but it's the first time in forever that I can remember being 6 days away from the NFL draft, and the buzz couldn't be any lower in the New York City area from what I can tell. But it seems that this could be a monumental draft for at least one of the teams in the area here, and that would be the Giants. Because for some reason, I keep hearing all of these rumors that the Giants are going to be selecting J.J. McCarthy. Now, if you're a big J.J. McCarthy fan, and if the Giants are really into him, if they believe that he can truly be the quarterback of the future for this New York Giants franchise, then make the pick. I can't say anything about that. If you love the guy, if you've fallen in love with what he does in the process, I can't get on you for taking J.J. McCarthy. But that really hasn't been the reason that I've been hearing people tying J.J. McCarthy to the Giants. I've heard a lot more of Brian Daboll and Joe Shane might be looking to reset their clock a little bit here so they can get themselves some more time as head coach and GM of this franchise. If that is the reason why you're going to draft J.J. McCarthy, well, I'm going to tell you something right now. You're going to have a disaster on your hand in about, I don't know, a year, 2 years. So if that's the reason why you're taking J.J. McCarthy, don't do it, because that's pathetic. And that is the ultimate reason with, or the biggest problem that the NFL currently has with their draft. And that is these quarterbacks who are good. I mean, these are kids that are raw prospects are getting drafted now in the top 10, top 15, and having ample, a ridiculous amount of pressure thrown on top of their shoulders when they truly can't even handle it, when they're not ready. And I feel like J.J. McCarthy is going to be one of the prime examples of that once again. I think J.J. McCarthy is a guy who, if you take him on day two of the draft, allow him a year or two to develop, you can see what you got. And you know what? He might develop into one of those guys who is a bottom 10, bottom 15 starter in the NFL. But you know what? You need to have those guys develop because you need bottom 15 starters in the NFL. Right now, there are too many guys that are starting in the league that shouldn't be starting. There are too many guys that are playing in the NFL that shouldn't be playing. And the reason for that is that a lot of talented dudes are coming in, getting absolutely destroyed, both physically, mentally, emotionally. And I know emotionally we don't think of as like a thing that fits into this description, but when you're talking about guys that are coming in as number one, number two, number three picks, making the money that they're making, and then they go out there and they are terrible, and they're getting destroyed by media, and they're getting destroyed by their teammates, and they're getting destroyed by everybody after a certain amount of time, because after a while, when you're costing teams games, they don't care that you're a rookie. They don't care that you're this or that. You gotta be on it. And if you're not, that's how you have people turn on you. And that's what happens to a lot of these young quarterbacks when they don't work out. So, I will say it once again for all the people in the back. The New York Giants should not be taking J.J. McCarthy, period, end of sentence, in my opinion. But if they are in love with him, If they really have actually fallen in love with him, which I don't believe they have, then they should take him. But, like I said, I don't believe that's something that the Giants have done. I don't think that's something that the Giants can actually claim. I think if the Giants sat there and told you, as soon as the scouting process for quarterbacks began over a year ago, we were sitting here and we have fallen in love with J.J. McCarthy over everybody else in this draft. I can't see that happening. There are too many talented players in the early first round for the Giants to focus on a quarterback who may not even be starting any games for them, let alone any games for them this season. I think that would be I think, honestly, that would be a bigger kill for the Joe Shane and Brian Daboll era than anything else. So, I'm just going to say it straight up. I'm not going to beat around the bush anymore. The Giants should not be selecting J.J. McCarthy. The Giants do take J.J. McCarthy, and I will absolutely skewer them on this podcast because that is one of the worst picks that this franchise could make at this point in time. And I know a lot of people disagree with me. A lot of people think you have to have the quarterback. You don't just take any quarterback. You don't just take any guy that you can get. You have to get the right guy. And even though Brian Daboll is Brian Daboll, you don't want to hand him something that he doesn't truly think that he can mold into a diamond. If you're handing him something, you better make sure that thing can turn into a diamond because he can make it shine. It feels like a complete waste. It feels like a complete waste even talking about selecting J.J. McCarthy. And it honestly is really starting to tick me off. So I am going to pause myself right now. Take a deep little breath. All right, I'm back with you now. I still am heated about the thought of the Giants taking J.J. McCarthy in the first top 10 of this draft. I mean, woo! Do not take J.J. McCarthy. Do not take J.J. McCarthy. Do not take J.J. McCarthy. One J.J. that I know that you guys will take is my guy, John Jastrzemski, who's going to be coming your all's way here in about a couple of minutes, and we're going to break down the NBA and NHL playoffs with my guy, J.J., from The Ringer, from Spotify, SNY, all the glorious places that you know him. Well, we'll get down into that in a couple of seconds. But first, I want to talk about last night. And nothing happened last night. Nothing of relevance for the local teams. There was no Mets. There was no Yankees. There was no Rangers, no Islanders, not even the Devils game to speak of. So we had ourselves a nice little off day in the New York sports area. I myself watched The Lion King. I thought that, and I think it's one of the greatest movies you will ever find. Period. End of sentence. If you have anything to say about that, you could tweet at me at ZooBeard77. But don't at me too much on that because I might get on you about the Lion King. That's a favor right there. That's tugging at my heartstrings. But hope you guys had a good off day there because let me tell you something. This weekend, we're getting right back into the swing of things. Tonight, we got the Yankees taking on Tampa Bay. We got the Mets taking on the Dodgers out in L.A. And let me tell you something. This weekend at the stadium is going to be an emotional one. Not only are you taking on the Rays, but you have John Sterling Day, which is Saturday. I feel like that is going to be, if you are a lifelong diehard Yankee fan over the age of 25 or 30, and you go to that game, it's going to be a lot. But enjoy it as much as you can. And I'll say this again tomorrow, but thank you to John Sterling for everything that he has done for this city, for the Yankees franchise, for baseball as a whole, because he truly is bigger than the game. He has been an example of the Yankees franchise for a long time, and he deserves a recognition as he's heading out. But the Yankees tonight, they're going to have Clark Schmidt taking on Tyler Anderson of the Rays, who not off to a great start, 6-4, 6 ERA, but you know what? You're the Yankees, you got to take advantage of things like that. You got the Rays coming into town, you got to smoke them on a night like tonight and get this series started right. The Mets, on the other hand, ooh, this is a juicy one. Ooh, you got Sean Manaea starting for the Mets tonight, going up against Yoshinobu Yamamoto, the man who scorned them, the man who left them at the altar. I love it. I will be tuned into this game. We'll break it down on the pod tomorrow morning. So make sure you hit that subscribe and follow so you can get that notification as soon as that drops tomorrow, Saturday morning. But until then, I'm going to leave the Mets and Yankees for tomorrow because we still got NHL and NBA playoffs starting this weekend. And we got ourselves the Knicks taking on the Sixers at 6 p.m. Saturday night. We got the Isles taking on the Hurricanes down in Carolina on Saturday at 5 p.m. And you got the Rangers hosting the Washington Capitals on Sunday at 3 p.m. live from the Garden. So if you're able to get to any of those games, enjoy them. They're going to be awesome. But if not, I got a little preview here, a little betting preview for the NBA and NHL playoffs with my guy, John Dostremski, coming your way now. JJ, my man from Spotify, The Ringer, SNY, formerly my colleague as well, my brother, how are you?
Oh, that's one hell of an introduction, Big Zoo. I appreciate it. I miss seeing your face every day. It is great to hear your voice. And I'm fired up to join you, man. You're a media superstar now all of a sudden. I'm proud of you.
Hey, man, I appreciate it, bro. We're taking it one day at a time. You know what it is. Just trying to get to your level, bro. Trying to be a young legend.
I don't know about that, bro. I don't know about that, but I appreciate that. I appreciate that.
Hey, the streets say differently, my friend. But listen, I started out the episode here talking a little bit about the G-Men and the potential of them going quarterback and J.J. McCarthy with their first pick in the first round here. I just need to get a heat check from you. Where are you at with the Giants drafting a quarterback and drafting J.J. McCarthy?
Okay, so my opinion on this, Sue, is going to be drastically different when you talk about drafting a quarterback or if you talk about specifically drafting J.J. McCarthy. I'm out on J.J. McCarthy. I watched a lot of Michigan games. To me, he was not the straw that stirred the drink. They were a run-first offense. They relied on their big, bad offensive line. And I know Jim Harbaugh has talked him up throughout the process like crazy, but Zoo, if he liked him that much, he could trade Justin Herbert to the Washington Commanders and go and draft J.J. McCarthy. Yeah, and it doesn't look like Jim Harbaugh is doing that. So I have major reservations on McCarthy being a big-time NFL quarterback. I see too many similarities to what you heard with Daniel Jones when the Giants drafted him out of Duke. Now, I don't think either one of us looks at Daniel Jones because of injuries and performance and everything that comes with it and says, wow, he's the guy for the Giants. In a perfect world, you'd be able to go and get yourself up in this draft, maybe to get Drake May or get Jalen Daniels. That's not happening, though. Everyone's going to go 1, 2, and 3. Caleb Williams is going to go to the Bears. Washington's going to take their quarterback. And New England, I don't see them trading down. I think they end up taking a quarterback and maybe not playing them for the first 12 or 13 games. So if I'm the Giants, here's what I would do. I would take the top receiver available. The Giants have been dying for a number one receiver for a long, long time. Whether that's Neighbors, Dunze, whoever it is. I don't think Marvin Harrison's going to be there. I get the receiver. And then what I would look to do, Zoo, is I would look to trade back into the first round potentially, and I would keep my eye on Michael Penix. That's somebody I'm a big fan of. I know he's older. I know there are durability concerns, but he's a baller. I mean, we watched him at Washington take a team to the championship game last year, and I know the receivers are great, but he's the guy moving around, slinging the football. I'm intrigued. That, to me, is how I'd handle it because the Giants need a young quarterback. I just don't like McCarthy as the fit.
Bro, I couldn't agree with you more, man. I'm not with J.J. McCarthy at all. And I love that inspired thought of the Michael Penix, man. That's a way to go. I'm actually starting to – you said that, and now it's coming into my body a little bit more. Oof. I need to let that marinate a little bit because I like that a lot, bro. You really put me on to something.
Well, and listen, they have the draft capital to do it. And you wonder if the Giants don't go and draft a quarterback this year, then it's like, well, when are you taking one? That's the problem they run into. The issue is, I don't know where they stand on Penix. I don't know where they stand on Bo Nix. And it seems like there are conflicting reports on whether or not they're all in on McCarthy. One thing I'd give this regime a little bit of benefit of the doubt when it comes to quarterback here, Zoo. Brian Daboll is a very talented offensive coach. And I don't think J.J. McCarthy is the guy. I don't think you think J.J. McCarthy is the guy. I do think, though, if you get Daboll here, he will make the most out of whatever quarterback they get into the building. Look at what he did with Daniel Jones just 2 years ago, getting him to a point where he could go and win a playoff game.
No, absolutely agree, man. Daboll, that's the one thing, is that Daboll will make the best out of whatever you get him. I just feel like the value with a guy like J.J. McCarthy is really sitting in the second round or a late first round and taking him that high. Yeah, I think that's where we see eye to eye on that one. Brian Daboll will always get the most out of these guys. Tommy DeVito is a case in point there. But I didn't want to get you in here to bog it down too much with the Giants because, my man, I appreciate and love your gambling takes too much to not get your opinion.
I don't know. Hopefully NBA. Not during this NCAA tournament. I mean, if you were fading me during the NCAA tournament, Zoo, you would have made a lot of money. So I don't know, man. Hey. I don't know.
Hey, man, you're talking to the performer of the Big Zoo Pick of the Week over here, man. We went 0 for 15, I think, at one point this year. So
nice. We know there all we go. About that the makes fade. Me feel a little better. Okay. That kind
we
of
know,
year.
We know all, we know all about year, the man. Fade over here, bro. But, nah, definitely, definitely appreciate your opinions on all of this stuff. And I had to get you in here talking to NBA first round, Rangers, Isles, playoffs. And let's just start right there. We got the Rangers and Isles both sitting there with the potential to meet up in the second round here. The Rangers clearly coming off the President's Trophy, getting matched up with the Capitals. And then you got the Isles who are taking on the big, bad Hurricanes who, I mean, listen, they made all the trades. They are going for it. But there's something for me with the Islanders specifically, and let's go there first. What do you think with the Isles they need to do here to pull this upset? And are you willing to go in there and throw a little money on the Isles to keep this series tight?
So as we sit here right now, I wanted to take a look if they had the series price up for the Islanders and for the Hurricanes. And I don't see it at the moment. So I don't see it on FanDuel. I do see Carolina, to your point, they're the favorite, believe it or not, Zoo, to be the cup winner. I couldn't believe that when I saw it a couple weeks ago. I said, Carolina is the cup favorite? But hold on a second. The Rangers are higher in the standings than the Carolina Hurricanes. They're a gritty team. That's the problem I run into with the Islanders in this series. I see where you're coming from, right? Because you're like, hey, the Islanders can muck it up. The Islanders could go and make it a very physical series. But against this particular opponent, that, in my opinion, plays exactly into what Carolina wants as far as playing a series. I think it's a lengthy series. I'll give you that. I don't think this is a short 4 or 5-game series. I think it will be 6 or 7 games. I think there will be moments where you think the Islanders can go and win. But in my opinion, Carolina, cup favorite for a reason. I'm not going to pick the Islanders in round one. I'm going to say Carolina wins this series either in 6 or 7 games. I'd love to see Rangers-Islanders in the second round as well. I just don't think we end up getting there. I think we get the Hurricanes and the Rangers. We get a little more chalk, you know?
Yeah, I think I'm betting a little bit too much with my heart here because I really, really, really want to take those Isles to get a series win here once that series line comes out.
Well, and they've been hot. Listen, Zoo, that's what you like. They've been hot. They had to play their way into the postseason. But that goes one of two ways, though. That could also be the sort of situation where you're going and fighting and scratching and clawing those last few games and you get into a playoff series and you're out of gas, or you're galvanized by it. So we'll see how that shakes out. At least you're getting plus money though on the Islanders. You know, you're not laying it. So I'm not gonna fight you on that.
Hey, that's a fact right there. That's a fact right there. And you know what? If I can get the Islanders in 6 for, you know, a nice little chunk of change, I might need to throw that in a little parlay with the Rangers here because I think personally, I think this is a series Rangers have to sweep if they want to be cup contenders. I think it's a series they have to sweep if they want to be taken seriously going forward. And I think it's a series they have to sweep in general for the franchise. I don't know how you see this series playing out. I don't know if you think the Capitals have any prayer here, but for me, it's just one of those where the Rangers need to assert dominance, and I'm probably taking them to just sweep straight up.
So I think you nailed how you play this series. I think you play the Rangers in four, or you play the Rangers in five. And whenever, you know, FanDuel, DraftKings, whoever puts up those odds, that's how I'd look to handicap this series. And you hit on something. The Rangers, in a lot of these runs over the last really 10, 11 years, they have these grueling first-round series. They're beating each other up. Remember the one with Pittsburgh a few years ago? They're down 3-1. They got to come storming back to win that series. Zoo, that catches up with you. As you go through the Stanley Cup playoffs, if you're playing first-round series against, you know, inferior opponents, you're going to reach the second round of the conference finals or the cup final and be completely out of gas. I think the Rangers got the perfect draw with the way this worked out in round one. They avoid a team like Tampa. That would have been very, very dangerous. Washington has not won a playoff series since they won the cup, going all the way back to Barry Trotz and Alexander Ovechkin, which was a long, long time ago, for goodness sakes. I don't think they have the horses here. I mean, I'm seeing now the Rangers are minus 375 for game one. So I'm with you, dude. Short series. I know it's not the Ranger way, but I think this will be the year they get it done in either four or five games. That's how I'm playing it.
Hey, your lips to God's ears, bro. And while we're talking hockey still, is there any – I know we don't have all the Western Conference series out yet. I know we don't really know the matchups to get us to the Stanley Cup because of that. Is there anybody you like as a dark horse across the NHL this year to make a little bit of a run? And if not, who do you like to end up in June in the Stanley Cup Finals?
So you look at the FanDuel odds. Carolina plus 650, Florida plus 700, Dallas plus 800. You got the Rangers. They moved a little bit. They're at plus 800. Edmonton at plus 850. The Knights at 11-1. You always get good value with the defending champs there at 11-1. Here's one, Zoo. What about Tampa Bay at 22-1? Isn't that a juicy number?
Oh, bro. You know, that's a team that always just finds their way to win. And
that's
been,
what I mean.
You know,
I feel like I look at that number and I say, wow, 22-1 with their pedigree? I don't have a problem rolling the dice on that.
Yeah, that's one. And that's a team that's coming into their own late on the season, too. Oof. I can't stand the thought of Tampa having another deep run in the playoffs and potentially winning a cup. But when you talk about that money we could make off it, bro, I might need
when
to.
You have some
I might
opportunities
to, hop on
to, you know, mix and match there too. So that's the problem is that side of the bracket looks a lot more challenging. You know, that's you got Boston there, you got Toronto there, Florida obviously, who was in the Cup final last year. So that's where it could get tricky.
Yeah, it's a tough little part of the bracket, like you said, the way they break it down now with the 4 and 4 in each conference. But there's just something about a team that knows how to win in the NHL, man. And I get it, Florida did what they did last year. Boston probably wants to look a little bit better than that pathetic performance they stuck out in the playoffs last season. But we still have to wait and see. I like that number. I like that number, bro.
I really saw it. It stuck out to me, dude, immediately. Immediately.
All right, but enough about the puck, enough about the hockey, because we got to get to what we came here for, bro, and that's that NBA playoff action here, man. I can't wait for this. Both of us being Knicks fans, we got huge games coming up starting on Saturday at 6 p.m. with the Sixers, but I'm going to save the Knicks for last because I just want to run through these other series first here and just quickly kind of get your – where you're feeling on the NBA playoffs as a whole right now. And, I mean, clearly we don't have the 1-8 matchups. We got the final play-in tomorrow night. Is there anything that any of those 8 seeds could do, either of them, to is there any team there that could prove to you that they could give a run to one of these 1 seeds here, either OKC or Boston? Because in the East, I think it's a joke. And
yeah, I
West,
think Boston got a cake road now. And you know what, Zoo? 24 hours ago, if you would have told me Miami plays Boston, I would have said Miami is going to be live in the series. They beat them last year. Jimmy Butler, Eric Spoelstra coaching them, the whole deal. Knick fan doesn't need to be reminded of that. They lost to Miami a year ago. But
yeah,
Jimmy Butler's going to – it looks like Jimmy Butler and Terry Rozier are nowhere to be found, which means they easily could lose to Chicago on Friday night. If Boston does not get to the NBA Finals this year, let's be real about this, Zoo. Fold the franchise. Fold the franchise. You can't get to the NBA Finals this year when you got the Knicks and the Sixers. One of them will be out in round one because they're playing one another. You have a fraudulent Milwaukee team with Giannis hurt. An Indiana team that doesn't play any defense. And the road for the Celtics is going to be either the hobbled Heat, Chicago. And then if you win that series, you're going to get either Orlando or Cleveland. I mean, dude, like Dickie Vila used to say, that's Cupcake City. I think Sacramento could give Oklahoma City a series. I do. I think they could give them a series. Because De'Aaron Fox could be, in theory, a guy that could go and take over in the backcourt. Sacramento had playoff experience from last year. Listen, OKC's had a marvelous year. SGA, Chet Holmgren, the kid's name's alluding to me. He lit up the Knicks when he played a couple weeks ago. I forget his name off the top of my head.
Oh, Jalen Williams.
Williams, there you go. Williams, totally blanked on his name. Dude, they're an impressive bunch. But I also wonder if you can – that's a team you can run with. You know what I mean? Like, a Sacramento, to me – can run with Oklahoma City. So if Sacramento beats New Orleans, I will look to play them plus games to get it to maybe six, to maybe get it to seven. I can't see it in the Eastern Conference, though, dude. I mean, Boston, I don't care if it's Chicago or Miami. Boston's going to win that series easy. They are.
Yeah, well, they better, bro. If there's any type of pushback there, like you said, you got to fold that franchise up today. And, yeah, through the Eastern Conference, I mean, it's kind of interesting because you look at Milwaukee, they're currently dogs in that series on FanDuel. What are they sitting at? They are at plus, they're getting plus money in that series. You look at a team like Orlando, who I think is getting crazily undervalued, they're at plus value. So I'm not really feeling this. I don't really understand how they're valuing these teams right now. When you got Cleveland sitting at a heavy favorite over Orlando, yet Milwaukee is getting plus money versus Indiana. Now, I get it. The Giannis injury is massive. But that just those two lines right there feel undervalued, even though I would probably still take the Pacers in that series versus the Bucks.
Well, I think you missed the boat now on Indiana if you wanted to take them. You could have gotten them at like plus 160 or 170 when the playoffs, you know, matchups came out last Sunday. The problem is this uncertainty with Giannis. I almost want to go the other way with this, Zoo, and say Milwaukee's going to find a way. I know Indiana had success against him in the regular season. Indiana couldn't guard me or you, number one. Number two, the other form of hesitation I have here, what if Giannis comes back in game three and he's looking good? Then you're like, wow, I have the Pacers at even money. I don't feel good about this. It's a complete stay away as far as the series goes. Because the other element that I don't like from a Buck perspective is I think Rick Carlisle is a much better coach than Doc Rivers. But anyway, I'm with you on the Magic. I don't understand that line. And I think what's going on there? Well, I think the metrics are going to point to the fact that Orlando can't score. And I think that's where they're like coming up with this minus 200 line. But from what you've seen out of Cleveland this year, Mitchell's not right. Mitchell has one foot out the door. And Orlando, they get after it. They're a very feisty, competitive team with Banchero and Wagner and Suggs. I would 1,000% play plus games with the Magic. I think that will be a seven-game series. And I am more than willing to go and take them plus 164 to win the series. I think Orlando wins the series for what it's worth. I will be on the Magic.
Bro, I couldn't be in more lockstep with you than right now because ever since I've seen how this Magic team plays, and this is another thing just really quickly, every Knicks fan that was hoping to play the Magic in the first round, y'all were out of your minds because this is probably the one team outside of Boston in the entire conference that can match up pound for pound defensively with this Knicks team as currently constructed. Now, Julius Randle plays, maybe it's different, but I always found that to be a little bit short-sighted by some Knicks fans out there.
You know, I would have taken them because of their – I wanted Indiana, for what it's worth, Zoo. That's who I wanted to see from a Knicks perspective. I thought Indiana was the perfect opponent. Orlando's inexperienced, so I didn't know how that would play come playoff time, but you bring up fair points. They're versatile. They're very intense defensively. And they've played well against the Knicks this year. Now, the Knicks smoked them the last time they played them. I do remember that. But they've had some success against the Knicks. So it's a fair counter, dude. Fair counter.
Yeah, no, but luckily we wouldn't have to worry about them till the conference final anyway. And just to get there, I'll take it. Whoever you play in the conference final, it doesn't matter at that point. It's all balls rolling out on the court and you go. But quickly, bro, before we get to the Knicks and before I get to your finals picks and let you go, anything you like in the Western Conference in the first round, any numbers jumping out at you, any series, anything that you are looking forward to out West?
Oh, I can't wait to watch that Dallas Clipper series. And I think the Dallas Clipper winner is going to give Denver their toughest challenge. I do in the Western Conference. I am not a believer in Phoenix. Phoenix probably will get by Minnesota because they match up well with Minnesota. Anthony Edwards has not played great in those games against Phoenix. Minnesota, I wonder about Towns coming back. You know, he missed so much time. Now they're trying to get him back in the flow, in the rhythm. That can be clunky, dude. That could be clunky. So I don't have a I'm going to go that series game by game. I'm not betting that series, Minnesota and Phoenix. Denver's going to beat the Lakers. It's a question of how many games. I think last year, you saw the Western Final. The games were all really close, Zoo. Denver won all of them. I think the Lakers will have at least a breakthrough moment or two in this series. Like, I don't think it's going to be a 4-0 sweep. I think you probably end up seeing this series go 6 games because Denver's depth and bench doesn't seem to be as good as it was last year. I'd take Denver in 6, but I like Dallas against the Clippers. Number one, I have no idea what the deal is going to be for Kawhi Leonard. Is he playing? Is he not playing? How many games is he going to play? Too much unknown. And to me, Dallas has found something here. What they found is they got two dynamic studs in the backcourt. They're playing really, really well. Say what you want about Kyrie Irving. He's played great this year with Luka Doncic. He's played brilliantly. They brought in dudes, Washington, couple other rim protectors that have really helped their defense. They've played as well as anybody's doing in the second half of this year. I'm on Dallas to win the series. The line's come down a little bit since the Kawhi Leonard news of him playing more than likely in game one has come out. I'm on the Mavs, and I even think if you're feeling frisky and you want to have a fun little bet to get involved with. Because listen, Celtics-Nuggets is like the obvious final. Yeah, I'm trying to figure out who could crash the party for Celtics and Nuggets. And obviously we're hoping the Knicks are that team. I don't think the Knicks would get past the Celtics for what it's worth. Dallas at 17-1. Remember I said this, Zoo. I think it's a good value. I think it's a good flyer. It's one I'm invested in.
Oof. Bro, I'm in on it. And I got to tell you, bro, I like Dallas too. I like the way they've been coming out this year. I've been watching them got on the league pass. They've been one of my teams this season that I've been tuning into, throwing on the overs. So I love watching that Dallas Mavs team play. That'd be fun. That'd be a good run too. There's just something about that Denver-Boston matchup I just don't need to see. You know?
Yeah, and listen, it seems too obvious, right? I know the NBA traditionally has been a very chalk league. Be careful with that. I mean, last year we saw Miami go all the way from the play-in to the NBA Finals. I don't know if you're getting a team from the play-in to the NBA Finals this year, but you kind of get my drift.
Yeah, no, sir. Not this year, because the Knicks are going to take care of one of them real quick, I think, this week or over the next 2 weeks here, because we got Knicks and we got Sixers. We got a little I-95 rivalry going on. Bro, outside of a winner in this series, is there anything that you like going in? Are there any players that we should be watching? Should we monitor numbers? What do you love in this Knicks-Sixers series, and who do you think comes out on top in the end?
So I'm right there with you. I grabbed the Knicks at plus money as soon as the series price came out last night. I couldn't believe it, Zoo. I thought the odds makers were so off base. Did they watch Joel Embiid huffing and puffing, running around for 3 quarters? I don't give a rat's ass what he did in the 4th quarter. I don't know how he gets through this series in the conditioning and the shape he's in. And it's not his fault. He's been hurt, but he hasn't played a whole lot of basketball. Now you're expecting this guy to go and play every other day. I don't like that. I think the Knicks have bodies they can throw at Embiid. Hartenstein, Robinson, even if you got to throw Jericho Sims there to eat some fouls for 2 or 3 minutes, he can do that. And the other main element in play here, and to me the biggest difference maker in this series, it's not the obvious. I know you're probably thinking, oh, Jalen Brunson. Jalen Brunson to me is a given. I think he's going to be the best player in this series, but I think Anunoby is going to be the ultimate X factor here. His defensive versatility, whether he guards Embiid, whether he guards Maxey, whether he guards whoever, he can do it. He can hit the three. They're going to need that secondary source of scoring without Julius Randle. And, Zoo, people are going to point to the Sixer record with Embiid. It's really impressive. Don't get me wrong. How about the Knicks record with OG Anunoby? They're like 20-3, dude, when OG Anunoby plays. 20-3. I think his presence and what he brings this team is exactly what you want come playoff time. Now, listen, you're going to deal with hot and cold from DiVincenzo. You might have some great DiVincenzo games. You're probably going to have some rotten DiVincenzo games. Hart, you know what he's bringing. Grit, intensity. He's going to get a bunch of rebounds. He's going to provide, you know, that spark plug, ignite the Gordon crowd type of deal. I'm sure you'll see that on Saturday night. But I think Anunoby is going to be the X factor here. I like the Knicks. I think they're a better team. I think they're a deeper team. I got them in six, Sue. I say you will have, and I'm thinking of going down for a game six in Philly. I will not be able to go to 3 or 4. I do not think this series goes 7 games. I will say the Knicks in 6.
I like it, bro. I like it, bro. I can see it. I can see it being even shorter, too. I mean, like you said, you brought up Embiid's health, or not Embiid's health, but his conditioning and what that conditioning might be doing to him. If we do get into a gritty series here, because you're going to have Mitch on him, you're going to have Hartenstein on him, it's gonna be interesting to watch. I got the Knicks winning this series, too, clearly. But to your point there with OG Anunoby, I think they'll probably stick him on Maxey. If that's the case, are you with me on the unders for Tyrese Maxey point-wise this series?
Yeah, I like that strategy. The problem with individual players is you don't know how they're going to prioritize. You know, are the Knicks all in on the idea of shutting down Embiid? Therefore, there are more opportunities for Maxey. I like more than the individual, Zoo. I think we're going to have a lot of unders in this series altogether. I mean, remember, the Knicks played Philly back in March, right when I got back from Africa.
That disgusting.
And it was like a gross game. Yeah, dude, it was like 73-60. It was like, ugh. I felt like I needed a barf bag to watch that game. I don't think it's nearly going to be that ugly, but I think both of these teams are more than content grinding it out, playing at a slower pace, and that's going to lead to some ugly totals. Listen, unders usually reign supreme in the NBA playoffs because you don't have as much scoring. It's different league now. There's more scoring than there's been in years past, but still, the shooting is not as good. Guys get tight, the whole deal. I think we're going to have a lot of unders in this
ref
series.
Differently.
That's just my thought. But we'll see if the books adjust, though. That's the only thing. Like, in theory, you would think that'd be the case. But if we start seeing some insanely low totals, we may have to adjust, you know?
Amen, brother. Amen. So let's hit that game one under. Let's take that Nick. What do we got right now, actually? What's the number on the Knicks?
2.5.
You have that up in front of you?
2.5. That's what
let's
I'm
Let's take
seeing.
That Nick. So I don't know, bro. I don't know if you're riding with me on this one. Let's hammer a nice little Knicks -2.5. Parlay that with the under. I think we might be cooking something up right there.
Well, I mean, at that point, we might as well just take the Knicks on a money line, right? Why mess with the 2 points?
Facts. See, that's why I got you here, bro. You keep
We're
me straight on these
I
things.
Mean, fuck it, too. We might as well get better numbers, you know?
Let's go, baby. I love it. Let's get that chicken. JJ, man, I really appreciate you giving me this time. I love you, brother. Thank you.
Zoo, anything for you, bro. Keep up the good work, man. And hopefully a lot of these come home to roost. From your lips to God's ears, you know?
Hey. That's what we're praying here, brother. But thanks again for the time, my man.
You got it, Zoo. Later, bud.
Once again, thank you to JJ, my guy, John Yastrzemski, of course, of the Spotify, of the Ringer, of the SNY fame. That's my guy, man. I can't thank him enough for coming on today and breaking down a little NHL, NBA first round action and for giving me a little bit of a feeling of reprieve that I'm not the only person here that thinks that taking JJ McCarthy would be a crazy decision for the Giants to do this year in the draft. But with that being said, we had ourselves a long episode today, a well worth it long episode today. Thank you to JJ once again, my brother. Thank you, all of you fine listeners, for joining me again on this Zoo Yorker journey. Please hit that subscribe and follow button, and if you do feel so inclined, leave a 5-star review. Appreciate y'all. All the love to everybody. Remember, keep that positivity up. It's another beautiful day. It's a Friday, so get your thing on, all right? Have a great weekend, everybody. I will talk to you tomorrow, and we'll start previewing a little Knicks playoffs, a little Islanders playoffs, and get you ready for those games happening tomorrow night. But until then, I must bid you all adieu. And until next time, my good people, peace.